Hey everybody, Ryan Gronfman here, author, speaker, chef, restaurateur, and founder of therestaurantboss.com, clickbacon.com, and scalemyrestaurant.com. I want to welcome you to the State of the Restaurant Industry 2022. I've put on my best. This is the best tuxedo and suit that I currently own, or should I say that I fit into, because I don't fit into my suit or my tuxedo from pre-COVID days. I'm doing better. But I'm not quite where I need to be anyways, only because I'm not feeling 100% right now. My family just had a little round with COVID. I just want to make sure that everyone out there is healthy and that everyone out there is doing well. We are in the midst of the Omicron wave, and I don't want to say it's serious because I don't think people are getting as sick. At least we aren't, and from what we're hearing, but it's definitely making its way around. So of course, depending on when you're watching this, I want to wish everyone out there health and everything. I hope everyone had a great year. This is going to be super exciting. Let's get into it. We've got a lively chat going. So if you're here with us live, go ahead, type the questions, keep them going. Dawn is out there. Dawn is on my team. She is absolutely amazing. Andrea might be jumping in. She's on the team also. She's amazing. They're going to kind of go through here, and if there's specific questions that they can answer, they'll try to get those answered. If there are questions that we want to make sure that I get to either now or at the end of the presentation, she'll kind of set those aside for us and make sure. So just keep your questions going. She's going to be monitoring the chat when I'm kind of paying more attention to the presentation. We will get to everything. But if you haven't yet, whether you're watching this on YouTube, on our website, or here live, if you haven't yet, type in where you're calling in from, what your outlook is for 2022, any questions you have, because even if this is 3-4 months from now, we will get those answered on YouTube. So what do you say? Here we go. Let's get started. So the state of the restaurant industry 2022, right? What is the state of the restaurant industry? Well, let's start by saying what was the state. This was a very interesting stat. Oh, I think I'm blocking it a little bit. If we find that I'm blocking things, you know what? Let me make me smaller. Give me a second here. Let me go to settings. There we go. I'll just make me smaller. So then I'm not blocking anything. But basically, this is a really, really interesting graph. Now, it only goes through September of 2021. I'm assuming we would have seen something flat. We would have normally seen growth through October, November, December in a normal year. But with Omicron, we might see it flat. But we definitely, from talking with all my clients all over, we definitely didn't see declines until January, which is to be expected. But let's just look at this for a second here. This is really interesting. Obviously, the pandemic sort of hit March. It really took effect in April. You can see by the sales. Then we started to see this rebound, and then we saw that little dip. And then we saw this big rebound in 21. What's interesting, and I'm going to talk about it in the next slide here, is that for the last 3 to 4 months, at least that we measured here, like from May, even from April until September of 21, the industry was ahead of its pre-pandemic levels. So let's take a look at this here, right? Restaurant industry sales are not really down since the second half of 21. In 2019, the industry did $863 billion in sales in the US, which is an average of $71.9 billion per month. For the past 6 months, we were at or above pre-pandemic levels. So going in, or at least for the last 3 or 4 months, we've been doing well. So what is the state? Here's where it starts to get interesting. Change is not coming. Change is here. We're going to talk about this a lot today. The labor markets have evolved forever. We're going to talk about that a lot. Inflation is very real. It's here to stay. Your guest expectations have evolved. This is probably the most important thing that we're going to talk about. And they're not going back. In many ways, for some of you, 2022 will be a harder year than 2021. So I think someone said, hopefully, good news. The news is good for some of you. And I'm going to talk about that more. That's what's going to be a little bit interesting about this state of the restaurant industry address. That's going to be a little different than ones I've done in the past. Don't bury your head. Why? Because change is hard. I get it. Change is hard and we're going to need to make some changes, but you can't bury your head. If you want to crush it, you're going to need to change. This is a gentleman whose name is Ryan Dice. He's a great marketer and a great business mind and a great forward thinker. And I love what he says here. Entrepreneurs don't struggle because they do things that don't work. Entrepreneurs struggle because they continue to do things that did work for far too long. What good ideas have you been doing for too long? I love this quote and quick story. One of the phone calls that I get the most, or one of the conversations that I get the most with people, sounds something like this. Hey, Ryan, our business is still doing well, but it's not doing as well as it used to do. And then I'll ask questions like, well, tell me about what the business used to look like. And I'll ask questions. Tell me about your marketing. Tell me about your management style. Tell me about this. Tell me about that. And then I'll say, are you still doing that? And a lot of times they'll either say, yes, we're still doing that. And then I'll ask, have you adapted those? And the answer is usually no, or no, they're not doing that anymore. And so the question really becomes like, what isn't working for us anymore? What used to work for us and isn't working for us anymore? That's a question I want you to start thinking about. The way that you hired might have worked for you 5 years ago, but it might not be working today. The way that you manage might have worked for you 5 or 10 years ago or 20 years ago, but it might not be working for you today. The way that you sold your food, the way you packaged your food, the way you priced your food, the way you negotiated with vendors, like, what was working for you but may not be working for you today? Like I said, just don't bury your head. And if you are going to bury your head in the restaurant. We got to get to work here. This is just the year that we're going to have to get to work. And I'm going to share with you some of those strategies and what they are and what work we're going to get going on. So here we go. We're kind of going to get into the meat and potatoes now. Find yourself a quiet spot for the next 45 minutes to an hour. Treat this time as a gift. Do not allow yourself to be distracted. Please stay to the end. You can ask me any questions you have. I will stay on as long as you are asking questions. Plus, we will be giving away a free autographed copy, signed hardcover. Listen, not the soft copy. This is a hard copy. We're going to be giving them away for free at the end, but you have to stay to the end. Also, please keep an open mind and avoid what I call the yeah, but trap. The yeah, but trap is, okay, Ryan, I hear what you're saying, but, or yeah, that makes sense, but, or yeah, we tried that, but, or yeah, I've always wanted to do that, but. If you find yourself at any moment today asking yourself the question or saying in your head, yeah, but, please write that down. What triggered that yeah, but response? And what limiting belief is surrounding that? What fear or frustration is surrounding that and causing you to say, yeah, but? So I can't believe we're still talking about COVID, but we are. All economic shocks and times of uncertainty create the best opportunities. More wealth is created in uncertain times than in certain times. More millionaires were created during and just after the 2008 recession than any other time in history. When times are chaotic, there is opportunity if you are willing to look around and seize that opportunity. In stable economies, everyone does well. When everyone's doing well, it's difficult to stand out from the pack. Now, for the last 6 or 7 years, from about 2014 till about 2020, everybody was doing well. If you were in the restaurant business during that period and you were not doing well, there was a major challenge with your model or your service or something, because everybody was doing well. Every year was better than the last year. Prices were low. Yes, there were labor challenges, but nothing like we're facing now. But it was really hard to stand out because everybody was doing well. During the pandemic, certain brands really stood out. And that happens during times of uncertainty. here's where things are going to be different than past sorry presentations. And sorry is state of the restaurant industry. My wife today, when she said, what are you doing today? I said, I'm doing sorry, or I've got the sorry meeting. She said, who's sorry? So sorry is state of the restaurant industry. In past updates, I've delivered strategies that will help everybody. Meaning, I shared my general information and general strategies to help the entire industry grow. This presentation is going to be different. Certain industries are going to struggle more than others. This presentation is not going to be focused on growing the entire industry. It's going to be focused on growing certain types of restaurants, certain industries, or certain sectors of the industry. Because we are in an uncertain time, things are changing, and everybody cannot survive this period. A rising tide floats all boats. I don't believe we are in a rising tide environment. If you have been following the stock market at all, it has been a terror for the last 5 to 6 weeks. I think we're going to see that for a full year, maybe even more. It is up, it is down, it is down, it is down, it is up. It's a very tumultuous time right now. We printed a lot of money. We stopped printing money. The money flow has slowed down. We now have to survive on the economy without the help, and things are getting more expensive. It's hard to find labor. Things you all know, we're going to talk about it. But only boats that are strong and sturdy and built to ride out a storm will survive long enough to rise when the tide comes back. And that's what today is about. Today is about being around when the tide rises so you float, when the winds are at your back, because the winds have been in most of our faces for the last couple of years. So the question is, are you going to crush it or are you going to be crushed? And that's really just a decision. It doesn't matter. When I start sharing different sectors and types of concepts and things, if you fall into one where I don't, me personally, don't see the most growth, that doesn't mean that's a recipe for disaster. That just means you got to get to work. So right now, I want you to make a decision, and I want you to type it in here, whether you're watching on YouTube or whether you're here live with us. I want you to type it in here. Are you going to crush it or are you going to be crushed? Just type it in right now for me. Make that claim. Stake that out loud that it doesn't matter what happens. We're not giving up. You know, I go into these Facebook groups and I just see post after post. I hate it. I wish I could unfollow these. But, you know, some of these Facebook groups where people just come to complain. And I just see people that are like, that's it. COVID got the best of me. I'm throwing in the towel. I'm done. I can't do it anymore. I can't find staff. I'm closing. You know, unfortunately, V isn't on here. V, I know you'll watch this at some point, and when you hear your name, you'll comment. Some of you know who V is. V and I recently had a conversation during one of our group coaching calls where she said something along the lines of, you know, Ryan, early in the pandemic, we were going to close. Everyone said we should close. Everyone was nervous. Everyone was scared. We were going to close. And then you came on live and did a presentation and said, now is not the time to bury your head in the sand. Now is not the time to shut down. Now is not the time to give up. Now is when you dig in and you get to work. She stayed open and had her best year ever in 20 and 21. She's on pace for another record-breaking year because she's in one of those sectors that she shouldn't be doing as well as she is. She's in a full-service sector. She's in Alaska, but she's doing better than ever before because she made the decision. So what I'm going to share with you today is not a death sentence or the opposite or gas on your fire to grow. I'm just giving you my opinion. The decision is ultimately going to be you. If you're not busy right now, you can't keep blaming COVID. Yes, things got a little worse in the last couple of weeks. I put together this presentation a month ago before Omicron really got bad. So let's subtract the last month. Let's subtract January from that statement. But if you were struggling in summertime or November or October of 21, you can't keep blaming COVID because it's been 2 years and changes should have been made. And we're going to talk about those. So what are the strategies? The difference between more struggle and more success is partly based on what type of service you offer. Like we said, it'll be more based on how you adapt to new trends, technologies, customer demands than ever before. And of course, how you operate. Sure. Please subtract January. I haven't been following the comments because I've been focusing here, but I saw that one popped out of my head. Please subtract January. Wish granted. We are subtracting January. And again, I need to apologize my throat. I've always been the operations guy. I'm the operations guy. That's what I do. I like marketing. I teach marketing. I'm not a marketer. I like finances. I teach finances. They're important. I'm not an accountant. I am an operations guy. Operations will determine your success. What I always say is if you have back pain and you go to a surgeon, they're going to recommend surgery. If you go to a chiropractor, they're going to recommend chiropractic treatments. If you go to an acupuncturist, they're going to recommend acupuncture. I'm the operations guy. You come to me for operations help. If you want marketing, I got marketing guys to go to. If you want financial success, if you want to run your business by the numbers and you want numbers to be the most important thing, go to numbers guys. I've got people for that. I'm an operations guy. I believe that when we operate well, when we exceed your guests' expectations, when we give them more than they expect, when we provide value, your guests will keep coming back. The best restaurants in the world don't do that much marketing. The best restaurants in the world, yes, they track their finances, but they don't operate on finances. They operate on guest satisfaction. The finances are there for railroad tracks. So more than ever now, operations has to be at the top of your list, no question about it. There's an expression in all of the Reddit groups right now, right? In the stock market, ever since the GameStop stock thing and the AMC stock thing, right? It's to the moon. Everyone says to the moon. So this statistic goes back to 2018. I've seen newer updated statistics, but not in a graphical form. But what's most important here to share is that in 2016, grocery store sales were lower than restaurant sales. More easily stated, restaurant sales exceeded grocery store sales for the first time ever in history. And it's not gone back to that. In fact, during the pandemic in 20 and 21, restaurant sales exploded while grocery store sales shrank. And that's the trend that we're going to talk about more than anything, is that people don't want to cook anymore. They don't know how to cook anymore. They're not training their kids how to cook. We are raising a society of people who are stuck on their devices all day long. And to take an hour off of their day to go eat is too much of a distraction for them. I introduced this last year and I wanted to bring it back here quickly, the bow tie curve. 83% of fine dining operators expect lower sales in 2021 and beyond. Now, this slide is from last year. 17% of QSR operators expect lower sales in 2021 and beyond. 83% of fine dining operators expect lower sales, but only 17% of QSR. And I have some stats that I'm going to share with you that show that this is what happened, that fine dining sales shrank a little bit, QSR sales grow, and it's been doing that even pre-pandemic. But what I call this bow tie curve is, if you look here, we have utility. This is where I just want food. I want to go to a restaurant. I want to get food. I want a QSR experience. I want a good value. I want good food. I just want food. I don't really care about the dining room. I don't really care about the ambiance that much. I just want good food. And then on the other side of that, we have experience. Experience is the fine dining, the axe throwing, the bocce ball, the bowling center with a restaurant, the movie theater with a restaurant. Now, dining itself could be an experience. Like I said, fine dining. There are meals that we celebrate where we go out. It's more about the celebration than the food. That's on the experience side and then the utility side. We are seeing the middle shrink and the extremes grow. The middle is shrinking. The restaurants that are just a restaurant, like Sharon's restaurant, for example, with the I Pour It beer system, that's fun. After a round of golf, you go upstairs to her restaurant, you pour yourself a beer. That's more fun than just sitting and having someone bring you beers. That's an experience. Kathleen, for example, I'm going to call some people out here that I know with Grilled Cheese Mania. She's on the utility side with a quick service restaurant, but she's doing food that's really unique and really fun and really exciting. The gentleman I was talking to about with the donut restaurant, the donut and fried chicken, that's more on the utility side. We're not wasting our money with big square footage. We're not wasting our money with huge dining rooms when it's really about the food. So it's not good or bad. It's not utility is bad, experience is good. Where I see the struggle and where the data supports it is if you're just a restaurant. If you're just a restaurant, it's getting harder and harder. I believe the most growth in the coming years will be in the limited fast food, QSR, family counter service, and ghost virtual kitchens. I want to talk about family counter service for a second here. We're seeing this grow a lot. We're seeing what would traditionally be thought of as a family restaurant, a full service family restaurant, switching to quick service or switching to counter service. So it's not quite quick service like a burger and fry joint. It's the same food you would expect. The best example I can give, if you want to Google this, is a restaurant called Mandola's. Mandola's was a family that started Johnny Carrabba's. Mandola family and the Carrabba family were partners on Johnny Carrabba's. Johnny Carrabba's is like a smaller version of Olive Garden. They had a bunch of restaurants, I don't know, 50, 100 locations out in the Texas area. And they started selling those restaurants about 8 years ago and opening up Mandola's. And Mandola's has great pizza, homemade pasta, homemade cakes, homemade gelato, chicken parmesan, meatball, like a meatball sandwich, spaghetti meat, right? All the Italian favorites, but you order at the counter. You grab a bottle of wine off the shelf or out of the fridge. You go to the counter, you pay, you sit down, they bring you your food. It's fantastic. It's the best of both worlds. I get the food that I love from a good quality family style restaurant, but at prices and service that my family also loves because of the family counter service. And then ghost and virtual kitchens, you guys know, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But again, the quality of your operation is going to be most important. So this is what's really interesting. Average food prices jumped 12.9%. It was the biggest jump in a 12-month in any 12-month period in the last four decades. Beef was up 57.7%. Fats and oils, 49%. You can read through this. I don't need to waste your time with it. It's just ridiculous. Food prices will go down, but not to where they were. Food prices will go down, but not to where they were. In 2016, prices actually got cheaper, and then they stayed flat for the next 4 to 5 years. We didn't see increases in prices for the last 4 to 5 years. I mean, a little bit, but nominal. We were raising prices faster than food prices were being raised to us. There's going to be exceptions. You're going to say chicken wing prices went crazy. Yes, they did. But generally, when we look at the industry as a whole, the cost of goods sold did not go up for 4 to 5 years. All the while, the industry was growing at double-digit numbers. It was easy from about 2012 till COVID. We're catching up on that. We live in a bubble economy. We live in a world, whether you like it or not, that isn't happy with 3 to 4% growth. So we create bubbles. We push companies to grow harder. You have to grow at 10%, 15%, 20% a year. But when you grow at that rate, you're ignoring other things and then it all crashes on you and we bubble. That's what we do. Our economy grows, it expands, and then it collapses. And then we correct, and then it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and then it collapses. This is what happened with food prices. They're elastic. So food prices stayed flat, 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 and then they're exploding right now because everyone else's costs went up, everything else went crazy, and now food prices are going crazy. It hurts now more than ever because it's happening fast. If we had a 2 to 3% growth, right, what did I say? It was 12%, 13% in the last 12 months. Well, if over the last 6 years, food prices went up 2% a year, you wouldn't feel it. But because it went up 12% in 1 year or in 6 months, you're feeling it. Brands that exceed their guests' expectations, create fun environments, create unique experiences, and offer unique products are able to raise prices and grow without feeling the pain of inflation. If you are exceeding your guests' expectations, if you are giving your guests more than they want, you can raise your prices to keep up with inflation and keep up with your labor costs, and your guests will still pay it. But if you are offering the same frozen burger with the same frozen bun, with the same frozen fries, with the same iceberg lettuce, with the same sliced tomato and the same special sauce as everybody else, you can't raise your prices enough to keep up. Your guests just won't pay it. Eventually, they'll make a decision to eat somewhere else. They'll downgrade like they've been doing. Chick-fil-A is having their best years ever. In-N-Out is having their best years ever. McDonald's is having their best years ever. Because people, as prices are going, look, McDonald's isn't cheap anymore. I think a Big Mac combo is like 11 bucks. But if I'm going to pay $15 or $16 or $17 for a burger that's just average, I'd rather go to McDonald's and get an average burger for 12 bucks. So you have to focus on exceeding your guests' expectations. You have to create fun environments, unique experiences, offer unique products so you can charge more because they can't go anywhere else to get them. If your brand is dull and boring and doing the same things as everyone else, you're just going to struggle. You're not going to be able to raise your prices as fast as you need to control your expenses. And if you just raise prices, so even if you are operating well, if you're just raising prices but not able to control expenses, you're probably still going to be in trouble. I know this sounds obvious, but this is not even the scariest part. It's the labor, right? The F&B industry is short 1 million jobs, 8% below pre-pandemic levels. We thought it was hard, and the number one complaint I got pre-pandemic was labor. I don't even want to talk about it anymore because that's all I hear from people now is labor. It's tough out there. I get it. I'm going to share with you why. 75% of operators reported recruiting was their top challenge. I can't even believe that that's 75%. I figured that would be 98%. It probably is now, wherever, I don't remember where the statistic came from. Average turnover was 106%, up from 70%. 70% is a ridiculously high turnover. 106% is bonkers. I want to do a quick check-in here. Of everyone here, who would say that their biggest challenge going forward is labor? Or I should have created a poll, but what would you say your biggest challenge is? I take a sip of water here. Type it in. What would you say your biggest challenge is going forward? Is it labor? Is it cost of goods sold? Is it guest count? Is it COVID? This is really interesting. And while you're typing that, I want you to pay very close attention here. This is probably the most important slide that we have in today's presentation. Screenshot this. Print it. Stick it on the wall in your office. 28% of workers left for higher pay. 23% left for a more consistent schedule. 17% left for a lack of professional development and growth opportunities. 16% left due to quantity and quality of hours. Quantity, meaning they're not getting enough hours. Quality of hours, I'm getting the hours I want, but it's super early in the morning, it's late at night, it's on the weekends. 15% left due to work environment and culture. I'm going to add some of these up for you in the next slide, but I want you to take a quick look at this. Why can't you find workers? Because 51% of them, when I add those first two numbers up, 51% cite higher pay and consistent schedule as the number one and number two reasons for leaving the industry. 51% said they weren't getting paid enough and their schedules weren't consistent enough, so they left. 99% of people left the industry for reasons that are controllable. They're all here. When you add all these numbers up, it's 99%. So that means that 1% left for other reasons, or maybe there's a rounding error. But the point is, we can control all of this. Now, this is one of those yeah, but moments. Yeah, but I can't pay more. Yeah, but I can't give a more consistent schedule. Yeah, but. Guess what? We don't have a choice. Your business model might need to change. Your business model might need to change. If you were a taxi cab driver 10 years ago, and your solution to making less money was to raise your prices, you just accelerated your demise. If you were a taxi cab driver 10 years ago, You should have been saying, I need to get a job at Uber. If you were the taxi cab industry, you should have been saying, we need to hire software developers and develop some software to compete with Uber. But they didn't. Netflix did the same thing, or Blockbuster did the same thing. This isn't a conversation of, I can't pay more. This is a conversation of, what are we going to do? What are we going to change? So we have to, so we could, because you can't do this alone. You may say you can't control the pay that people today want. I totally disagree. They want higher wages because of the reasons we already stated. The hours suck in the restaurant industry. We know that. But now they have jobs that pay the same with better hours. So we're either going to have to give them better hours or pay them more. You can't or don't want to pay because you think the people are not good at their jobs and don't deserve it. People are only as good as your systems. People are only as good as your systems. There's an expression that we use. Systems are as reliable as people aren't. Systems are as reliable as people aren't. Don't blame your people. Don't say, I can't pay you more. Ask yourself, how good are your systems? I have been asking these three or four questions. I don't remember. I'm going to show them here. I've been asking these questions for the last 10 years to clients. What is your biggest challenge? What do you guys think? Because you guys wrote it. Labor, keeping track of costs of goods sold, right? Labor. So I've been asking for 10 years when I get on the phone with someone, what's your biggest challenge? What do they say? Staff, team members, labor. That was before the pandemic. This has been happening for 10 years. Pay close attention here. Do you think it will get better? I asked them. That was supposed to pop up later, but it didn't. But I say, do you think it will get better? And they say no. Will they ask for more or less money in the future? More. So then what is your plan? They don't have a plan. Let's go through this one more time. When I ask people, what is your biggest challenge? They say staff. When I say, do you think it will get better? They say no. When I ask if they think that labor will cost more in the future, they say yes, more. And then I say, what is their plan? And they don't have one. You can't operate a restaurant without people. So it's safe to say the best restaurants in the world have the best people. You can't operate a restaurant without people. We're getting closer. They're trying, but trust me, that's a long way out and that's going to come with a series of problems. Let's just be real here. You can't operate without people. The best restaurants in the world simply have the best people. How do you get the best people? You become the best at managing and leading them. If you want to have the best basketball team, you have to be the best at passing, dribbling, shooting. If you want to have the best football team, you have to be the best at kicking, running, blocking, passing, and catching. If you want to be the best golfer, you got to be the best putter in the world, and you got to hit the ball long and straight. Those are just facts. If you want to have the best restaurant in the world, or a successful restaurant, or the best restaurant in your city, you need the best people. And if you want to have the best people, you have to be the best at managing and leading them, at coaching them. The best basketball teams in the world have great coaches. The best golfers in the world have great coaches. The best whatever in the world have great coaches. Okay, fine. This isn't necessarily about hire me as your coach. Yes, but this is about you coaching. This is about you being a great coach to your team. Now, in order to be a great coach, you might need a coach. We'll talk about that more later. But the point is, you can't have the best restaurant without the best people. And to get the best people, you don't just hire the best. You develop them. You create systems for them. How do you become the best in the world at managing and leading? You work on it. You practice. You read books. You attend seminars. You work with people. It's okay to not be the best manager in the world today. It's not okay to not be the best manager in the world in 5 years. You've been given the information. What you do with it is up to you. If you're not a great manager right now, that's fine. But stop worrying about the restaurant stuff and start worrying about the management stuff, because that's going to be the difference maker. It's okay. I was a terrible manager when I started. Fortunately, I had an opportunity to work with some people and realize that I really sucked at managing and I wasn't effective and people weren't following me and they weren't listening to me. And I learned and I read books and I attended seminars and it became such a passion of mine that that's what I teach now. I get job offers all the time to run people's restaurants. I don't think I can make enough change in one restaurant. This is the difference. It's going to be how good you are at managing and leading. I put together this little chart. To operate and grow, you need a team of people. People don't want to work in restaurants. So you have two choices. You can struggle to operate and not grow, or you can do something different. So then what is your plan? You can't find workers, right? We talked about the reasons why. 2022 is going to be about three things. We've talked about a lot of them, but we're going to recap them here. Operational excellence. There's no end to what operational excellence is. Operational excellence is about systems, processes, procedures, exceeding your guests' expectations, being a great manager, being a great leader, being a great coach, right? That's all included in operational excellence, finances, marketing, all of that. You have to have a plan to be a phenomenal operator. Just showing up to work every day and dealing with whatever problem shows up in front of you is not a plan for operational excellence. And what are you doing to improve your operational excellence? Two, meeting the guest where they are. Your guest expectations have changed. Meeting the guest where they are. It's getting a little quiet out there. Some people type in, just chat in that you're following me, that you're with me. You agree, you disagree, some questions, something. We're going to get to all of them at the end, I promise. But just let me know you're with me. I like seeing the chat roll moving. It makes me know I'm not talking to no one out there. Meeting the guests where they are. Your guests want delivery. Your guests want more value. Your guests want more utility. Your guests want more expenses. Experiences. Your guests want food brought to them in their parking spot. Your guests want to order from here. Your guests want to use Cash App or something similar, Kathleen, right? Why would I pull out a credit card when I can just swipe my phone? Your guests want to pay at the table. I love when they drop off the little toast thing and all I do is put my credit card in there and they leave the tablet on the table and I could sign it and email it to me and fill out the survey right there. Don't email me a survey. Let's fill it out in your restaurant. You've got to meet guests where they are. Adaptation of technology. Now, the adaptation of technology is going to feed into number two, which is meeting guests where they are. But it's funny because when I did this first presentation like 6 years ago, I poo-pooed technology. I really said like technology isn't going to be a difference maker for you. People still want restaurants. They still want the experience of it. But boy, have things changed. The pace that technology has developed for the restaurant industry has been massive. The technology is good. It's not great yet. We're still far behind of where we should be, but it's getting better. COVID accelerated that. You have got to keep up with technology. Most importantly, yeah, there's the typo. There's probably been more typos, but I didn't tell you guys. I love typos. I'm just a restaurant guy. I'm not an English major. I get typos. I don't even think that's right English. I do typos. Wow, that was a terrible sentence. I don't think that's right English. I do typos. It's terrible. There's your first typo. Most importantly, your business model might need to change. There are no video rental stores anymore, but people watch movies at home more than ever, right? Netflix, we talked about that. There's no more Blockbuster, it's Netflix. There's no more taxis, but people ride share more than ever. Your business model might need to change. Now, it may not need to be a drastic close your doors one day, reopen as a different business, but is your business model adapting? Current full service restaurant is 70% dining room, 30% kitchen. Current QSR is about 50-50. The new restaurants being built today are 70% kitchen, 30% dining room, if they even have a dining room. Scott, what did you write? Just listen to an awesome podcast about restaurants, media, and technology. You can look up Cali Barbecue. Yeah. Yeah. I've heard a lot about them. I haven't listened to that. I'll have to look up that podcast, but I've heard a lot about them. Tech is a must. I can't believe some places are surviving on cash registers. Yeah. Simply put, guests want high quality food that's easy to order and get it fast, right? That's on the utility side. High quality food, easy to order, get it fast. And the more unique, the better you're going to do. And then on the experience side, people want experiences. People want to have fun. They want to be transported. Our lives are stressful. Our lives are tough. When I go out to eat, if going out to eat is hard, I won't go out to eat. If I can't find parking, I won't do it. If your valet is rude, I won't do it. If your host is rude, I won't do it. If you make it hard for me to decide what I want to eat, I won't do it. My life is hard enough. I have to make thousands of decisions a day. I have a team of people that we work with. We all work together. We have deadlines. We have processes. We have to make decisions. We have stress. We have clients. When I go out to eat, I want an escape. If you are not making it easy, if you are not giving them an escape, you are not exceeding their expectations. People don't want to work in the restaurant anymore. It's what we've talked about. So things have to change. 50% of consumers would consider delivery by drone. This is happening. I think it was in Sacramento. I watched a 1-hour special on robots that are roaming the street and they're experimenting with delivery. We stayed at a hotel 4 years ago. This was 4 years ago. We stayed at a hotel in Los Angeles that an old college roommate of mine was the food and beverage director at. He sent us cookies. That's awesome. Thank you. Guess who delivered the cookies? A robot. A robot went to the elevator, hit the button, got in the elevator, hit the button, came to my door, hit the button. And when I got there, it had a message on it that said, you know, welcome to LA, your buddy Ramon. And it opened up and had cookies and a glass of milk in it. That was 4 years ago. I went to a banquet at a hotel about 3 months ago in Dallas. Instead of past hors d'oeuvres from a waiter, it was past hors d'oeuvres from a robot. This is happening. 61% order takeout and delivery at least once per week. It's a massive number. 64% don't anticipate returning to their pre-pandemic dining habits. 64% don't anticipate returning to their pre-pandemic dining habits. 3 out of 5 expect the same quality for dine out as dine in. That means you have to change your processes. You probably need better packing equipment. Now, I don't know. Maybe you have great. I'm just saying in general. This is hard, folks. People expect the same quality. They want crispy French fries. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we got to figure out a way. We got to give them crispy French fries when they order a delivery. 57% prefer to use a digital app and 40% prefer to be on the restaurant website or app as opposed to third party. That's very interesting. You have to have your own delivery or your own ordering platforms. If you can build your own app, even better. 79% of consumers are likely to order from a ghost kitchen. We're going to talk about ghost kitchens here in a second. 2022 forecast is for growth. Slower growth, but still growth. But like I said earlier, I do not think it will be industry-wide. I think a certain sector, not necessarily by type of industry or restaurant, what I'm saying is I just think that a smaller section of the industry will grow a lot. Another sector will shrink. Overall, if we just look at the industry as a whole, it will show growth, but it will not be a rising tide where all restaurants grow. My prediction is that growth will not be for everybody. Growth will be big in some brands and other brands will shrink or disappear. Like I just said, we are not in a rising tide environment. We are still in a chaotic and disruptive environment. Ghost kitchens are going to play a bigger role than ever. I had a strategy session with someone earlier today. They operate 6 locations in the California area. And I said, why don't you have 5 ghost kitchens? They operate a pizza restaurant. But it's your typical pizza restaurant, right? 5 categories of food, generally speaking. Pizza, sub sandwiches, pasta, salads, wings. I said, why don't you have 5 ghost kitchens? Why don't you have a pizza ghost kitchen? Why don't you have a salad ghost kitchen? Why don't you have a pasta ghost kitchen? Why don't you have a sandwich ghost kitchen? And why don't you have a wing ghost kitchen? You need ghost kitchens. You need them. It's the future. You can wait. I mean, you can wait until there's all the ghost kitchens in the world and then you're competing against them, or you can be one of the first. But they're easy to set up. They don't cost you any money. They only do business when you're open. You have no additional cost. Why aren't you running a ghost kitchen? And the reason I say you need five ghost kitchens out of one restaurant instead of just the one, instead of just putting your restaurant online, is because people search differently today than they did in the past. When we're searching for food, we don't just say, I want pizza or I want Italian. We search for pizza. We search for salad. We search for pasta. We search for sub sandwiches. We search for wings. So if they have a wing restaurant, they're going to show up at the top of the search for wings. Now, they can also sell pizza at their wing restaurant, but it's a wing restaurant. Operations will be the most important area for you to focus on. Labor will continue to be your biggest challenge. Sam, just opened donuts and fried chicken. What did you write here, Sam? Where is that? Oh, did it get moved? I was just about to read it. Don might have pushed it into a question. I'll come back to it. Operations will be the most important area of your focus. Labor will be your biggest challenge. We're getting toward the end here. We're going to start answering your questions. I'm going to show you how you can get the book. Just a couple more things to talk about. If you don't know And Pizza, it's literally And Pizza right here. Look them up. I'm going to show you some pictures in a second. This pizza chain owner who pays $16 an hour says there's no labor shortage, just a shortage of businesses willing to pay a decent wage. This is his brand. It's very modern. It's very hip. It's very on point. It's pizza restaurant, but it's super cool. They do really well. They play great music. People want to work there because it's cool. People want to eat there because it's cool. Check out their website. These are pictures off their website. It's just an awesome brand. It's called And Pizza. They're crushing it right now. No problems hiring staff. I read a statistic somewhere. Is it here? Yeah. Fully staffed 12 new locations during the pandemic, and they get 100 applications per job opening. 100 applications per job opening. Let's talk about another brand, Agave and Rye. You want to look them up? Look them up right here. Another super cool, super hip, super fun brand, growing like crazy. I had the privilege of working with them for over 4 years to help them go from no restaurant to 10 or 11 locations. They're a monster. They've made like every list of fastest growing brands. They opened up 10 locations in the last 2 years. We don't have a stat if they get 100 per job opening or 50 per job opening, but I can tell you they don't have a problem hiring staff. They pay well. They take great care of their team. They're super cool. They're super fun. They're gangbuster busy. Their team makes a ton of money, and they can afford to pay their team a great wage because they have operational excellence and their brand is fun and unique and different. It's an experience. Here's an example of a full service restaurant. They should not be crushing it right now. They are a full service sit-down restaurant that is absolutely killing it because they are an escape from people's reality. They exceed your expectations with every bite. They exceed your expectations with every drink. They exceed their employees' expectations from the moment they interview to the moment they hire to the training. They lead, coach, and develop. TLC, we call it training, leading, coaching. They just do a great job. They are exhibiting operational excellence. That is why they are crushing it. Quick Trip. Who here, type it in. Who here has a Quick Trip in your area? It's a gas station. This picture is not real. I'll explain in a second. We got two Quick Trips that opened up near my house about a year and a half ago. This is the only gas station I will go to. I'm embarrassed to say this. My son and I go to Quick Trip for dinner once in a while. When my wife's not home and we're on our way home from baseball practice or basketball practice, or if we just played some golf and we're just hungry, sometimes he's like, Dad, can I just go to Quick Trip and get a buffalo chicken? They have like these buffalo chicken roller things. And I'm like, sure, no problem, because the food's pretty decent. Sometimes when I play golf early in the morning, I go here to get an egg sandwich instead of McDonald's. They are the friendliest staff I have ever encountered. They are friendlier than Chick-fil-A. It is a gas station. But you know what I found out recently? They have an amazing interview process, an incredible 2-week training program. The training program is so intense that most people don't make it through the training program. They pay very, very well. Look them up on Glassdoor. People are nervous when they apply to Quick Trip. They say, I've heard the training's hard. Do you have any tips? And people write back, just be yourself, have fun, smile. You'll do great, but you got to study. You got to pay attention. This brand has standards. They don't let people just work there. They are so nice and so fast. So people make these jokes about Quick Trip because they want Quick Trip to be like a mall. It is incredible. Quick Trip is getting a following like Chick-fil-A has a following. My family's from Atlanta. Yep, Justin, right? You know the Buffalo Rollers. You know what I'm talking about. It's no joke. They're legit. Anyways, before I let you guys know how to get a copy of the book here, I want to take a few minutes. I want to answer some questions. We covered a lot. Dawn, is there, can I go to, I think I can go to question and answer. Or if you want to post them back in here for me, give me one second. Let me see what's the best way for me to do this. Questions. Go ahead and type them in, or if you've already typed them. Oh, so I didn't realize Dawn created a poll here. Labor was 33%. Wow, 55% said cost of goods sold, and 11% said guess. So questions. Okay, I'm going to start at the bottom. Third-party delivery companies are bleeding money. Same for 2022. They have plenty of financing. Whether they become profitable in 2022 or not, I don't know. I'm not an analyst and I'm not a stock analyst. I'm not telling you to buy stock in them or not. I do own stock in some of the delivery companies, but what I do know is they're very well funded. They will figure it out. They will make money and they will take over the industry just like Amazon did. Amazon didn't make money for about 8 years. Now they make plenty of money. Facebook didn't make money for about 8 years. Now they make plenty of money. Where to focus for the first 6 months when you open a restaurant? When you open a restaurant, Albin, you have to focus on exceeding your guests' expectations. Now, that's going to mean a lot of different things, but you absolutely have to exceed your guests' expectations. You have to. That's all you have to be worried about. Don't worry about the finances. Don't worry about making money. Don't worry about all the little things. Just make sure that every guest who comes into your restaurant is blown away, and then we can start figuring out the rest. I need to make a hard decision. We currently have two locations. We're bleeding money from our new location and need to get back to basic systems, process, procedure. I'm leaning towards simplifying and focusing back on one location to make it epic before I tackle two. Would that be smart? Scott, I'd love to talk to you one-on-one and get more details about that. I just did a strategy session with someone earlier today about the same thing. They have the six pizza restaurants and they opened up a spinoff brand. The spinoff brand is not doing as well as they wanted. And they asked me the same question. I need to know more, but generally speaking, the example I use is having a baby to save a marriage. Having a baby will not save a bad marriage. If the marriage is strong, it can survive 3, 4, 5 kids. But if the marriage is weak, having another baby is not going to bring the marriage back together. And I know that's a terrible analogy, but some people think we'll just have a baby and things will be great. If the second location is really struggling, then it might make sense to close it. Agave and Rye, the owners had to close two restaurants, different brand. They had to close two restaurants. One was open for about 4 years. One was open for about 12 years to free themselves up to open up their new brand. And then it skyrocketed. So I'm a big fan of get rid of the waste, focus, grow your business, then we can grow again. But again, I'd like to know more before I give you that advice. Would you set your rates lower during the week and higher on the weekends? I'm not sure what rates you're talking about, Sharon. Can you be more clear on that? A question from Rube. What if competition implements a copy of Our Unique? That's okay, because if you're the one who develops it, you have to always be changing. So if you come up with some unique menu items and they copy them, you're already ready to launch your new menu before their menu even comes out. So don't worry about it. Just always be innovating. Always be coming up with something new. Always be ahead of them. And don't worry about innovation. There's always going to be copycats. Amazon's not the only company that does e-commerce. They just do it better than everybody else. How do you compare with others with drive-through? There's a substantial advantage to large franchises. Yeah. There's no question about it. There is a substantial advantage to these huge brands that can build multi-million dollar locations. You just have to compete where you can compete. I have seen some brands that really shouldn't have drive-thrus do drive-thrus in a way where you order on the app, you order ahead, and then they pass it to you through a window or they bring it out front. I know it's not quite the same, but if you don't have the ability to have a drive-thru, you're not going to compete with a drive-thru. So you have to do things that they can't. You have to offer food or sauces or service or something in a way that they can't. But that's a really good question, and you're right. That's a tough one. Are we getting to the point of going cashless? We're getting pretty close. I don't think we'll ever be fully cashless, but I don't think you would be hurt if you decided to make your business cashless. What if competition undercuts? I got that one. We just opened Donuts and Fried Chicken. Awesome market. Guess who is building next door? Popeyes and Chick-fil-A. Yeah, but they're not going to change their menu and you are, and they don't have donuts. If you sucked at fried chicken, I'd be nervous. There was a Bush's Fried Chicken and a Chick-fil-A opened up right next to them. The Bush's went out right away. Bush's sucked at fried chicken. But we see this all the time. We see hamburger restaurants survive next to other hamburger restaurants. So again, you're unique, you're fun, you're different. You just got to know what separates you. Don't try to fold to them. Stay above them and be you. Should we keep prices the same or apply with inflation? Well, you're going to have to keep up with inflation. But here's my kind of general rule of thumb is if you're raising prices, what else are you raising in your quality, your service, your expectations, the value that your guests get, your uniqueness? You can't just raise prices. You can't just raise prices because your expenses went up. My wife drives a brand new Ford Explorer. Well, it's about a year and a half old. It's the latest model. We got it last year. In my head, I was like, I can't spend that much money on a Ford Explorer. I mean, it's a Ford Explorer. When her first car was a Ford Explorer like 25 years ago, they were pieces of junk. I can't spend that much money on a Ford Explorer. And then we drove it. And then we talked to people who drove it. And they're awesome. It's the best car we've ever owned. Given the option for a more expensive car, we wouldn't even take it. We love her car. So yes, the price went up, but the car got better. So yes, you probably have to raise prices, but you also have to be better. Pay employees more. You know, I want to experiment. I get it now. When you said, should you pay your rates more? Sharon, I want to experiment with giving weekend bonuses, giving night bonuses, paying more for things like that. I also want to experience with different pricing. I want to experiment with charging more on weekends or discounting during the week, whichever you want to do. But airlines have been doing this forever. Movie theaters have been doing this forever. Plays, if we went to see Hamilton a couple of weeks ago, we went to a Wednesday play because the Hamilton tickets were like $175 each on a Wednesday night. Saturday night, they were like $350. So no one in the restaurant industry, at least that I know of, is doing it. I want to start experimenting with it. I'd be careful about it. But if I operated a restaurant today, I would absolutely be experimenting with paying more at different shifts or offering bonus pay. Look, the military does it. When you're in the military and then you get shipped out, you have a rate, you have your base rate, and then you have a percentage higher when you're shipped out. If you are trained in firefighting, you have a hazard pay percentage, right? Different things that you do, you get higher levels of pay from your base pay based on that. So I would love to experiment with that. All right, I want to come back to the presentation now. If there's more questions, go ahead and pop them in. Those are the questions that came in earlier in the presentation. Let me get back to slideshow view. And then again, if there's more questions, we'll be able to answer them later. But what I want to do right now is I want to talk to you guys a little bit about our membership, how you can get a copy of our book for free. I said it earlier, I kind of touched on it, but I truly believe that a great teacher is always learning. A great coach is always learning. Up until recently, to work with me, you had to work with me one-on-one or to buy our courses, they were in outright payment, like Scale, for example. And I'll talk about that in a second. About 6 months ago, we launched our membership. Some of you are in the membership right now, and some of you are not, and some of you may have never even known about this, but we have a membership now. We just put the link up there. We just put the offer out. You can look at it on your screen. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it and some specials that we're offering today if you join. But we are so proud of this. We keep making changes to it. We've been doing the membership for about 5 months now, and we have some new changes to announce today where you're going to get even more if you're a member. And if you join today, you're going to get even more. So inside the membership, you get all of our courses. Our three most popular courses are Scale, Ghost Kitchen Bootcamp, and Restaurant Manager Certification. Ghost Kitchen Bootcamp is about an hour, hour and a half course with a great workbook and some examples. And we really break down what a ghost kitchen is, how to start one in about 7 days, 7 to 10 days, you can have your ghost kitchen up and running. It's a phenomenal course. Restaurant Manager Certification is something that you should all go through and get certified as a restaurant manager, but then also send your team through. We have a small fee for every member on your team that you want to get certified. They take a test. We send them a certificate so they can turn that into you. But Scale is our premier course. Thank you, Sharon, so much. If you didn't see, Sharon just wrote in. She's been a member and it's been awesome. So thank you, Sharon. I appreciate that. Scale is our premier program. Now, Scale is a $900 program. It's $897. You can go to scalemyrestaurant.com. You can learn all about Scale. You can buy Scale. You get access to it for life. Or as a member, you get access to it at a smaller monthly fee. And as long as you're a member, you have access to Scale. Scale is the most in-depth, detailed program we have ever created. It covers everything you need to know about restaurant operations, building systems, building processes, taking care of your team, how to hire your team, how to manage your team, how to lead your team, what types of marketing you need to do, what financials you need to be measuring, et cetera. It's all included in our membership. Plus, we have a private Facebook group called Rocket Fuel. You can ask me anything in the Facebook group. You can type in anything you want. This is a real community with real restaurant operators. This is not a community where all of these line cooks and all of these servers and bartenders are angry and give terrible advice. This is me, the other restaurant owners, and my team. You could literally ask me anything you want. We will respond to it. It takes 24 to 48 hours to get you an answer, sometimes sooner, but we will get back to you. As a member, you get access to the Rocket Fuel Facebook group. And we've added something new here. We've added training. So once a month, we are going to do a live training. We are going to, it's here, right here, one of the bullet points, right here, monthly training on a new topic. We are going to train on a new topic every month. And this isn't going to be a light training. This is going to be an hour-long, intense, everything you need to know about a topic training with a workbook. We're developing our first training right now. It's going to be in about 3 weeks. It's on checklists. It's the most requested and demanded training. We had thought about making a course and putting it in our courses page, but when we decided on the membership, we decided to wait on that. We're going to create a course on checklists. We're going to create a course on hiring. We're going to create a course on developing your training models. We're going to create a course on developing your operations manual, on different types of marketing. We're going to invite guests in, but every month we're going to create a new course. We're going to do a 1 hour live training. It's going to be recorded and put in there. And as a member, you'll have access to all the past trainings, all the future trainings. As long as you're a member, you'll have access to that. If you can attend live, fantastic. If you can't make it live, don't worry about it. It'll be recorded. It'll be in the training portal. You can watch it whenever you want. So as a member, it's just $97 a month. You get access to all of our courses, including Scale. Excuse me, access to the Rocket Fuel Facebook group where you could ask me anything and ask any members anything anytime you want. The monthly training, so a new training every month, the companion workbooks, plus you get a discount on one-on-one strategy sessions with me. If you join today, I will send you an autographed copy of the book, a hard copy of the book. This is for new members. If you join today, I will send you this free autographed copy. I will even cover shipping. And you have two choices today. You can either join at the $97 a month, or until the end of the month, as kind of a special, you can join for the whole year and you get 2 months free. So you can either join at $97 a month or for $970, basically the cost of one of our programs, Scale, you get the whole year free and we'll send you the book completely free, no charge, no shipping, nothing, if you join today. I just want to quickly kind of go over this one more time for you. When you go to the webpage, therestaurantboss.com/membership, you'll have the option to scroll down to the bottom and you can either join, like I said, the monthly or the yearly plan. I just want to talk about Scale a little bit more for you. And then I want to answer any other questions that you guys have about the membership. And I want to celebrate, if you are a member already, bonus, we're going to do the new monthly trainings for you. That's awesome. But if you are a member already, like Sharon, would you just kind of raise your hand or shout out, let us know so we can celebrate you. And then if you're thinking about joining, but you have some questions, let us know that as well. Or if you've already joined, like if you just signed up or you're signing up right now, let us know that too, so we can celebrate you. But right, we talked earlier about operations. Scale is all about operations. Scale is the course that when you join the membership, this is the first thing you should do is go through the Scale course. So then when you jump into our trainings, you will be, you'll have that base knowledge. So you'll have that base knowledge of what I'm talking about with systems and processes and procedures. So this the new trainings will make a little more sense. I forgot to mention, Don's going to kill me. I forgot to mention, maybe it was on the bullet points and I didn't read it. Maybe it wasn't. In addition to the monthly training that we're going to do, we're also going to do a monthly live call. That's going to be what we call office hours. It's a Q&A. So it's basically going to be a 1 hour call that I'm going to attend live and you can come and ask any questions. Like today in our Rocket Fuel training, Sharon as a member asked a question, or it wasn't Sharon. It was Jennifer and Heath, who are other members. I don't know if they're here today. They asked a question and that question sparked a conversation, which led to Sharon learning some stuff and helping her figure out some of her systems and processes, right? She's putting together a meal policy. We basically, oh, she wrote it, right? She wrote it. So we talked about something that Sharon was struggling with and a couple other members were struggling with on the live call today. And then she took what she learned on the call and wrote her policy and is going to be implementing it tonight. That's what you can do. That's what a great coach does. They shorten the learning curve. Why have to reinvent the wheel? Why do you have to do the research? We've all done it here. We have the answers. We've done it. If we don't have the answers, we'll help you get them. But anyways, awesome. Sharon, so who else did we see here? I thought I heard someone. Sam, yep, right? Awesome, member. So who's joining? Who's filling out the form right now? Who's already a member? Let us know. If you have any questions about anything about the membership, if you want me to show you around inside, we can go ahead and do that. If you have a question about anything else that we talked about, please let us know. But this offer is good until the end of the month. Like we said, two live calls every month. You get the live training call. Again, if you can't attend it live, it doesn't matter. If you can make it live, great. Then we get the office hours. If you can make it live, great. If you can't because you're busy 1 month, just put your questions in the Facebook group or shoot us an email and we'll get those answered to you. And then you get access to all of our courses plus the new course every month, right? The question I always like to ask people at this point is, who are you going to when you have questions? Who are you going to when you have questions, right? When I was starting my consulting business, I had coaches and mentors, people that I could call up or attend their weekly call or attend their monthly call. I had people that I could say, I'm struggling with this. What should I do? Should I do this or should I do that? How do I do this on YouTube? Should I even be doing YouTube? Should I be doing Facebook? How do you connect all this? Those people made my success in the coaching and consulting business possible. I never would have been able to build the business I built without them. It's not just the knowledge I have about restaurants. It was about the industry, the coaching and consulting. There were things I didn't know how to do that I learned how to do. So when you have things in your business that you don't know how to do or don't have the answers, who do you turn to for that?